I get to follow that.
Good morning, Hope Community Church. My name is Core. I'm on the pastoral staff here at Hope. We are going to baptize people. This is normally a horse trough, a feeding trough, but Hope, we repurposed it, and we're going to dunk people in it. So we're excited for that. In that regard, the people that will be coming forward have gone through an experience. Many times in scripture or in church history, they call it conversion, that they believe life was all about this, but then they made a decision. They turned away from that. They converted to Jesus and put their trust in him. And in that regard, that they it could be said that they know God and God knows them. And when I bring up that word, that descriptor of know, I think it could be misleading. Because if you're new to Christianity, you might be tempted to think, oh, so these people have like a certain knowledge base. They're required to know a certain amount about God, and that's what qualifies them. In the same way that a person going forth and achieving a degree of some kind, okay, that shows they did the requisite knowledge requirements of this degree, and so then we'll confer that upon them. That's actually misleading in regard to what's about to take place. And what is ultimately necessary is not a certain base or depth or breadth of knowledge, but simply that they have acknowledge, AC. That prefix is to say that they have turned to someone or something. And in this case, they have acknowledged Jesus as Savior and as Lord. At Hope, we will ask all people being baptized two questions. Two questions. The first is, are you now trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and for the fulfillment of all his promises to you, even eternal life? And the second one, is it your intention, with God's help, to follow Jesus as Lord and obey his teachings? Those are the two questions that we're asking them to say yes, to affirm, to simply acknowledge. Do they know everything about Jesus, everything about God, everything about his church, everything about church history in the Bible? No, that's not a requirement. The requirement is simply, do you acknowledge that Jesus has died for your sins and that you are dead with him, but that just as Christ was raised from the grave, you too are raised to new life. And that being raised to new life is to say that your life is not your own, that ultimately now Jesus is Lord of your life. And that comes from Romans chapter 6, where it says this, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. That is kind of what the Bible speaks to in this regard of dying and being raised, that ultimately it's not on account of their strength, their abilities, their accomplishments, their knowledge. It is rather an acknowledgement, turning to Christ, and it's his death and his resurrection that they unite themselves to. And so there's more that could be said about that. There's more knowledge that we could fill in that regard. But simply put, an acknowledgement that Jesus is Savior and Lord. That's what we're celebrating. That's what they're publicly professing. And one of my favorite baptism pictures ever at Hope Community Church, he's sitting right here. Deshaun got baptized recently. And I love this picture, because it communicates so much. And we're in a current sermon series on the book of Hosea where we talk about speech act. There's something that in the action, in the doing, communicates so much. And this picture speaks 1,000 words for me. I just think about, and I know both of these two, and they're different people, different passions, different talents, different upbringings. The fact that Deshaun grew up as a black man and Davis as a white man, that results in different realities for them in America. Both of them coming to Jesus under different circumstances. And yet, I love how the cross is lit up. Jesus as Savior and Lord, bringing these two together, united together in community, in Christ. And as evidenced by this, Davis must have slapped his back so hard as to get this cascading splash of water coming off. Probably still bear the marks on your back. What a picture. What a beautiful picture of the gospel of Christ, of baptism, but also of the unity that we have on account of Jesus, this community called the church. We're going to get there. But first, we're going to stop off at Hosea. Hosea is our fall sermon series. We've been working through this. This is message number 7 of like 9, maybe 10, maybe. I'll figure that out before we're done. And we have been going through this book. It is a small Old Testament book that speaks of gospel realities, grace, truth, forgiveness, love, but also betrayal, adultery, prostitution, a lack of love and faithfulness. So the first relationship that has been in view is the relationship between Hosea, the book's author, and Gomer. God calls this man to go marry a woman who's had many other lovers. And that ultimately becomes for us a picture of God's relationship with his people. That God, being the faithful husband, has wooed and has pursued and has had covenant entered into marital covenant with his people, but that people has been unfaithful. And that's where we step into the story in the book of Hosea. But in actuality, historically, we are this side of the cross. And so not all things align one-to-one. That we don't worry or risk being expelled or rejected out of a land. But that was something that they were facing, was you need to turn. You need to come back to God, or you might have to leave the promised land. We don't fear being forsaken by God because we recognize that the cross, that those who acknowledge the cross and the work of God says, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And so we just need to be able to draw attention to that. And I'll make that abundantly clear later in our time. We are not going to read all of chapter 4 and 5, but it's in your Bible, and you can. You're welcome to. I'm going to read about 10 verses from this and focus in again on that acknowledgement piece, because that's what is unfortunately not happening in our passage for today. But just, these are all the themes that happen in chapters 4 and 5, so great things, right? The word of the Lord is spoken and hopefully heard. Unfortunately, there's no acknowledgement of God. That has far-reaching consequences. We'll see some of them today. And then this, human attempts to try to fix the situation. They don't help. Religious attempts. Let's get the priests. Let's get the prophets involved. Those attempts don't help. All are led further astray. Ruin is in their future. There's warning, not just for them, but in potentially infecting others. They're too stubborn to turn. There's judgment and discipline. Still, after all that, they don't acknowledge God. Judgment and wrath follow. And then, all right, well, if nothing else, let's get the military involved. So military attempts, that won't fix it. And then justice will come on account of sin. Those are some of the themes in chapters 4 and 5. But I want to focus in on the first parts of both of these chapters this morning. Let's read together. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land." This is an indictment against God's people. Why? Because God was the one who graciously brought them into the promised land under the auspices that they would represent him. That God doesn't say, "Hey, Israel, you're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God because you're so great and everybody else is so bad." No, it is really, there's nothing that draws God to this people. There's nothing of great consequence. At that time, they weren't large in number. They didn't have a big military. It's not because they were prettier or fancier or wealthier than other people. No, God just in his grace. So I'm going to pick you. I'm going to bring you here. And I want you to reflect me, represent me to a watching world. It's going to be my grace to you that will then show other people that I want to be gracious to them. It's my love that then you're going to share with them so they can know about me. But they don't do that. In fact, there's faithlessness, lovelessness. No, and there it is, acknowledgement of God in the land. Do they know things about God? They know all kinds of things about God. There are prophets and priests in their midst. There are ceremonies and sacrifices and rituals that they know about, but what's the problem? They're not acknowledging God in the midst of the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. There's sin. A failure to acknowledge God has detrimental effects. There's consequences, and in this case, there's cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery, breaking all the commandments. All, just imagine just the worst of the worst, and it's like, that's God's people. They break all bounds of civility, of expectation, of the commands of God, and then just violence. Violence begetting violence. Because of this, the land dries up, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea are swept away. So this is a way of comparing what's happening in Hosea's time in that place with creation. God created all things, and if you remember, you go back to the start of the Bible, God created this, 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 and then he comes back and he says, it's good, it's good, it's very good. Creation happening as it should, but what's happening here now on account of sin is the detrimental consequences, which is, many people will call it like an anti-creation work. Creation's not going as it should. Things aren't happening as they should, and it's detrimental, not just to people, but to God's creation. Then it continues, let no one bring a charge. Let no one accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against the priests. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. You don't need to bring a charge against other people. Why? Because there's plenty going on in your own life. There's plenty going on in your own family, your own household. There's no need to go and accuse others. You have enough accusations that can be leveled against you, is essentially what God is saying through Hosea. And then it says this, you bring charges against the priest. You dare to charge a pastor with wrongdoing. No, what's being said here is essentially, they're the ones who should be blameless and innocent, and you're accusing them. It might be a way of alternatively saying, you bring charges against the newborn infant. It's like, well, what'd they do to you? You know, priests actually are gonna be shown here in a couple verses of like, no, they're not free from guilt. They got issues too. And in verse 5, we see the beginnings of that. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you, and God's appointed religious leaders are right there with you. So it's not like, hey, the glory stays with the leaders and you're all in harm's way. It's like, no, we're all together in this. Doesn't matter your title, doesn't matter your affiliation, we're all in a tough spot. And then this, so I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. And so, again, sticking with the metaphor, the analogy, or just this idea of God betrothing Israel and then bringing forth children. And God says, we got a problem. Why? On account of Israel's faithlessness, anybody conceived under that is going to demonstrate further faithlessness. That the sin and the bloodshed and the destruction and the violence and the death is just going to get perpetuated. I don't want that. And ultimately, what's at the heart of this? An unwillingness to acknowledge God and his faithfulness. We reject knowledge, which is to say we ignore God. It says there in at the end of verse 6, ignoring the law of your God. What is kind of this destruction on account of a failure to acknowledge God? It's ignoring him. And as a result, that has detrimental impact. Turning now, flipping, fast forwarding here to chapter 5. There's more sin and darkness at the end of chapter 4. You can read it. Skipping up to verse 1 here of chapter 5. Hear this, you priests. Pay attention, you Israelites. Listen, royal house, which is to say, hey, everybody, listen up. This judgment is against you. You have been a snare at Mizpah, one of the cities in the land. A net is spread out on Tabor, another city. The rebels are knee-deep in slaughter, just grotesque description here. I will discipline all of them. I know all about Ephraim. Israel's not hidden from me. Ephraim, you now have turned to prostitution. Israel is corrupt. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. A spirit of prostitution is in their heart. So basically, God is saying, everybody's at fault. No one is blameless. Everybody has thrown themselves headlong into sin and destruction and to death. And not only that, it says in verse 4, your own deeds, your own good works, your own attempts to fix this will not result in health, will not result in holiness, will not result in goodness. All of your best efforts cannot fix this. Why? Because the spirit of prostitution is in your heart. It's not just external deeds, but there's something that's going on deep within that is the heart of the problem. Deep within, this spirit of adultery, prostitution. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to listen to God. I want to ignore him and do whatever I want. That is within every person. And this is concluded. They do not acknowledge the Lord. They do not acknowledge the Lord. That's the bad news. That is the failure that Hosea, and really God through Hosea, is calling to those people. And so coming back to where we began, this idea of know and knowledge and acknowledge. When scripture talks ultimately about knowledge, it's not how wise and intelligent you and I are. Ultimately, if we're talking about capital K knowledge, who is in the know, who has understanding, it's God and not us. That's the scriptural testimony. That's what the Bible would say. We see this in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? What's the answer? No one. That's how we answer that question. Or who has been his counselor? Again, no one, not us. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. God is the one in the know. God is the one of understanding. God is the one outside of time who sees beginning and end, who sees clearly, not us. Scripture affirms this. Jesus affirms this, the importance not of us gaining a certain breadth and depth of knowledge, but simply acknowledging him in Matthew chapter 10. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Do you need to know a certain amount? Do you got to be well studied, well researched? No, you must acknowledge the Son. In 1 John, it says this, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And I put these up there to now kind of distinguish us from Israel. We're moving away from Hosea and Gomer to kind of God working with his people Israel. And now let's take another step because we're this side of the cross. We're not worried about kingdoms or temples or rituals or sacrifices happening in the Middle East like they were, right? We have the promised land. We don't want to lose the promised land. But for us on this side of the cross, it changes the story a little bit from the standpoint of who are we to acknowledge? Is our acknowledgement come through fancy rituals, ceremonies, sacrifices? Do I have to make a pilgrimage to the Middle East? Do I have to go to the temple? Do I have to come into a sanctuary and take in a worship service? No. At this point, what is clear is, do you acknowledge the Son? Do you acknowledge the role that the Son has played in bringing forth salvation? That he's died, but behold, he lives. And that we can die with him and be raised again. That ultimately, acknowledging that is what is vital. Let me give you another word picture. In keeping with the theme of water this morning, we've all been this little kid on the side of the pool, right? Before we even, like most of us probably don't have memories of this, we've all been that kid on the side of the pool. And some of you now, you're actually the catcher. Maybe you have like little nieces and nephews or cousins that you get to catch, or maybe kids or grandkids that jump in from the side of the pool. How much knowledge does that little kid have in regard to the person catching them? Like, I mean, of all the things that could be known about this person, I mean, it is a very, very small amount, right? Do they know like, oh, this person has enough health, strength, or the fact their feet rest on the bottom of the pool, right? Like just kind of on and on and on about how much could be known about the person catching them. What do they know? I think you're gonna catch me. And I hope so, because I'm just going to throw myself in whether you're ready or not, right? And many times we, being that little kid, look at God, and sometimes if you could just imagine him turning around and jumping into the hot tub next to him, like, we do that. And then God's like, oh, I gotta go rescue, right? Like, this is a picture of us with God, fully capable, fully able to heal, to rescue, to save. How vast is our knowledge of him? It's so small. Of all the things he knows that we don't know, of all the things he's done that we don't understand, right? His judgments are beyond tracing out. Who has given to him that he should repay? Who has the mind of the Lord? None of us. Are we God's counselor? No, but we try to be sometimes, right? In our prayers, like, hey, God, what's going on here, right? Like, my life is not making sense. It should make more sense. I'm not experiencing goodness like I want. I should be experiencing more goodness. Do something different, right? Who has knowledge? God. What's our role? Acknowledge him. Like a toddler throwing themselves headlong into the pool, so are we throwing ourselves headlong into the arms of God, trusting, believing with what little we do know that he will rescue, that he'll catch us, that he'll save us. Let me just give a few implications before we kind of come to the end of this message and get set for communion and prayer and worship and baptisms. Because I want to be clear, there are some implications that come on account of failing to acknowledge the Lord. Failing to acknowledge God comes at a cost. Too many to enumerate here. But according to the passage, just to pull some of the things from today's passage, there's darkness, there's sin, there's destruction, there's death. That even though God created you with intentionality, a plan, a purpose, though he created you, and upon his creation of you, what did he say? Good. Very good. When we fail to acknowledge him, there's a type of anti-creation that results in our life. We keep bucking against him, keep trying to do our own thing, and God's like, where are you going? What are you doing? I have plans for you. We see so little compared to what God sees. And I've talked to people inside our church and outside our church, just many other people going through what's called a deconstruction of faith. If it's a deconstruction of unhealthy church practices, amen. If it's a deconstruction where abuse or mistreatment in the church is being covered up, let's deconstruct that. What I see happening in some cases, not all cases, in some cases is a deconstructing of Jesus. A deconstructing of the Bible, a untethering to God's word. I haven't seen this in my life, and so therefore I'm gonna go find it elsewhere. Many people use the banner of deconstruction to really say, I'm no longer trusting in Jesus as Savior, as Lord. I'm no longer willing to acknowledge his goodness or his faithfulness. Breaks my heart. Hurts me. Why? Because these people have been in our church, or I've been adjacent to them in their lives. I've walked with them. I've journeyed with them. There's nothing new under the sun. As genuine as I believe their struggle is, at some point they say, I know better. I will no longer acknowledge him. I'm going on my own. It breaks my heart. That comes at a cost. Hosea detailed this in today's passage, but friends, I've experienced it. People that have promised me, I don't need God to be a great husband or a great wife. I don't need God to live with a certain ethic, to live with honesty and integrity. And yet, I've seen them untether from the gospel, untether, unhitch from that, with destructive consequence. And I don't want that for you. I don't want that for us. Acknowledge Christ, it says, and he will make paths straight. Secondly, acknowledgement comes at a cost. We do not ascribe to a health and wealth gospel. Do this and all of life will make sense. It'll be so great. You can give a little bit of money to God and he'll bring it back tenfold. Like, what is that? Like a casino type God, like just hit the right lever and he'll just riches. We don't ascribe to that. This can be a very, very difficult life, life in Christ, filled with struggle, challenge. Why? Because he is Lord and we are not. And sometimes he will direct and we're like, I don't want to love that person, right? Like that's difficult. I want to talk bad about that person to other people, not to that, right? Like there's part of our old nature that wants to rise up. And when we say, Jesus, you are Savior, you are Lord, I will live not according to my own desires, but according to your good purposes. We are dead to sin, dead to the old life, dead to doing whatever we want. Our lives are no longer about us, but about him. And yes, acknowledgement, I think, comes with tremendous value. Maybe not riches. Maybe not checking all those boxes of the American dream, but to know and be known, to have a peace that surpasses understanding. That you are fully known and yet fully loved and fully forgiven. Very few earthly relationships, very few earthly opportunities will ever make such a promise to be fully known and yet fully loved and fully forgiven. So much of our examples of love are highly conditional. Do this and I'll love you. Do this and I'll forgive you. His goodness, his newness of life, his adoption of you into his family, hope for the future, come what may. I read the prayer requests. I pray for you. There are challenges. There are struggles. And those struggles are not different than the rest of the world or the rest of our culture. So many of the same struggles, and yet trusting in Jesus who is over all. And so I want to ask you, yeah, are you now trusting in Jesus Christ? Are you acknowledging? Things don't change just because we walk with Jesus for a certain period of time. The same questions are for you. Are you now acknowledging Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the fulfillment of all his promises to you, even eternal life? And is it your intention with God's help to follow, to continue to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and to obey his teachings? Same questions I'm gonna ask people in just a few minutes. Same question for you this morning to consider, maybe for the first time, but maybe as a Christian who has walked with Jesus for a great number of days, to just check in again. How are we doing on that? Are we still just passionately thankful, grateful, in love with the one who has forgiven our sins and raised us from the dead and follow him amidst the trials, struggles, challenges? If I were to rewrite, you know, artistic, creative, not gospel, but you know, if I were to rewrite the verses from Hosea, and instead of reading Hosea chapter 4, 1 through 6, maybe Hope Community 1, 1 through 6, it might sound like this. And just consider this. Hear the word of the Lord, you people, because the Lord has a message to bring to you in the church, where there is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God, where there is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery, where all civility has been lost and violence follows violence, where the land dries up and all who live in it waste away, where all of God's great creation suffers from the consequences of sin, where endless complaints are leveled, one accusing another against even the most innocent, where you stumble day and night and lead others to do the same, where your deeds will never permit you to return to me, where a spirit of adultery exists in your very heart, even there I will be. Even there will I come. Even there will I rescue and save and love and forgive and help. There, deep within your heart and soul, I will be. If you permit me, if you acknowledge me, my son has been rejected. My son has been afflicted. He has bore these sins and many more. His faithfulness covers your unfaithfulness. His love covers your lovelessness. His purity covers your prostitution. Apart from me, your deeds bring rejection. But hear this, The faithful deeds of my son are your acceptance. There is grace for you. His arms are open wide. Come to him. Acknowledge him. That's what we're going to celebrate in baptism. That's what we have the opportunity as a church to witness this morning. 4 or 5 or 6 people getting baptized. Each one of them a speech act. They get to preach the gospel to you this morning as they're lowered into the water and brought up out of the water. As they're lowered in, that is symbolic of them being dead with Christ. And as they're raised up, that they have been risen to new life because of their own goodness, righteousness? No, but upon the resurrection of Jesus. Let me give you some explanation of what's about to happen here, because there's gonna be a little bit of chaos. There are lots of ways to respond to God in this time. I've listed them. You can remember and celebrate Jesus in his death through communion. Communion will be up front. There's tables in the back. We have a gluten-free option if that's a dietary restriction that you are facing. At any point during these, I think we got 4 songs. Feel free to come forward and to take, it's kind of a solitary deal there with a wafer and some juice. And the wafer is his body broken for us. And that juice is his blood being shed for us. This is a way that we get to remember Jesus in an ongoing fashion as a church. This is something that the church has done throughout history as instructed by Jesus himself. Do this, take this, eat and drink in remembrance of me. And so we will do that this morning. If you want to respond with giving, there are boxes in the back for physical checks. You can go on hopecc.com/give if that is the way that you want to worship God this morning. We'll have a fuller financial update here in the coming weeks. We're doing okay. A little off the pace, a little, you know, marathon runners from past week ago or a couple weeks ago, falling off the pace a little bit, not quite at the 8-minute mile like we were expecting. We'll have more in a couple weeks. You can take time for individual prayer, or we might have people available up front. I was unable to connect with our prayer team, but if you see people up front, they'd love to pray for you. You can take time on your own to pray. You can worship the Lord through song as we do weekly here. And in that, you can sing out, you can remain silent. You can read the lyrics on the screen. You can get baptized. We have people set up, they've taken a class, they've walked through that, they're prepared. But if you, in hearing the questions this morning, are feeling God saying, hey, it's your time, it's your turn to publicly profess your faith. We have sweatpants and shirts and towels, and we've taken care of all of that. We don't want anything to be a barrier. And so if you're prepared to affirm those 2 questions, we'll have you talk to an elder, and over the course of 3-4 minutes, just affirm that we're good to go and we're seeing these things clearly with eyes wide open and understanding Jesus' work on the cross for you. And you could do that. And if you choose not to do that, we'd invite you to applaud, shout out as people are raised out of the water. We're celebrating with them. We're affirming God's work in their lives. And so, yes, feel free to let loose, to hoop, to holler, to celebrate God's work. So with that, I'm going to invite the worship team forward. I'm going to dismiss people that are know they're going to get baptized, to go get changed. And just think I covered all the bases. It does. A lot of stuff, a lot gonna happen here. Let me pray for us. Let me pray for us as a community, just that we'd internalize these things and God would speak them deeply into our heart and soul. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. God, we hear those words. They are harrowing words. Our deeds, our good works will not save us. But it's not just that, it's that adultery has impacted even our hearts. We need a savior. We need a rescuer. We need help from outside of us. God, will you help us? You say yes. Who has the mind of the Lord? None of us. None of us would have thought your son would come and rescue us. Our best thinking would say, we save ourselves. We do better, we try harder, but you said, no, I will send a savior. I'll send my son. So God, with your arms open wide, with your willingness to love us, we thank you, we celebrate you. We acknowledge you in the midst of our service through these various activities. To you be all the praise and the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.